Alright, so we have been talking about life resurrected since Easter, and this is our last message in this series. And next week, we're going to start a new series, and I'm really excited about it. And we're going to call our next series, Crushing It. So we're going to talk about how to crush it in life. And how we're going to talk about it from the aspect that, remember in the prophecy over the devil, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. We're going to talk about crushing the devil's head for a few weeks, amen? We're going to break the power of the devil. We're going to believe God that we're going to see freedom come into our lives. And how do you face the challenges of life? And how do you face the challenges of dealing in a culture, in a world where the enemy is running rampant? Amen? And so we want to talk about crushing. I say crushing it. Amen. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really good. So it'll be great. So life resurrected. Let's go. John chapter 1. This is our scripture for the series. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was the life, everybody say life. And that life was the light of mankind. Jesus is the life. There is life in Jesus. And so we talked about that. We talked about multiple different things and about this subject. We talked about the fact that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Jesus came to bring life to us. And I'm not going to do a full review like I usually do. I may do that towards the end. But, you know, we did say this. In order to have the life that Jesus has promised us, we do have to live a consecrated life to him. We said last week that really this whole living an abundant life doesn't work for like the middle of the road. It works for people who are all in. I got all my chips, they're all in. You know, I'm betting the farm, right? I'm betting my life on this. Amen? And so, but I want to talk this morning about dreams. Because in your life, you're going to have dreams. There's going to be things in your life that you're going to look forward to. You're going to have in your heart that this is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. These are the dreams that I have in my life. Amen? And so I want to talk about dreams a little bit. And what better person in the Bible to teach from than Joseph? This is my favorite. This is my favorite story in the Bible. I mean, Jesus died for my sins, and yes, 100%. But it's the character of the Bible. Oh, this is going to be great. I want to talk about the dreamer this morning. And I want to talk about this, I want to teach on the life of Joseph. And maybe you're sitting there and you go, man, I've heard this. I want to maybe take it in a different, little bit different angle. And I want to maybe present it to you, maybe in a different way, and maybe in a different thought that you've ever thought about this story. In Genesis chapter 37, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to kind of follow along, because we're actually going to be going through this portion of Scripture. We use the NIV mostly So, whenever you'll see them on the screen, it's usually the NIV. Genesis chapter 37. Joseph. Says this in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that his father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. Some of you are like, I thought my parents loved my other sibling more than me, and I hated them too. We don't hate, right? Dislike. Profusely, when we use the word hate. And they could not speak a kind word to him. Wow. Verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more and said to him, "Listen to this dream I had." We were like, if it wasn't enough that they hated him, the Bible says when he told them their dream, he hated them all the more. Right? He said to them, he said, we were binding sheaves of grain out of the field, and suddenly my sheaf arose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Amen. And his brother said, excuse me. Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of the dream that he has. The dreamer. First of all, what are you thinking? Like Joseph, what are you thinking? Right? He tells his brothers, and that's not enough for Joseph, because Joseph then goes on and tells, he says, hey, mom and dad, I had another dream. Right? And this is not up on the screen. But it says, listen, he had another dream. He said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon, mom and dad, and the 11 stars, brothers, were bowing down to me. So not only the brothers, but mom and dad, you too. Now how many of you parents be like, let me have that robe back. Thank you very much, man. Like, let me have that back, right? The dreamer, Joseph, he actually gets rebuked by his father, right? His biggest fans didn't even believe in the dream that Joseph had. His father, who had given him the robe, he didn't even believe in the dream. Joseph, like, he needed, like, a journal. Like, I was thinking it had done him really well to just not. He wouldn't journal out of his mouth. He would journal, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just write this down. It'd be a whole lot, but, you know, I guess the phrase that you use now is, like, overshare much? Like, that's Joseph. Right? The dreamer. So a little bit of time passes, and so Joseph is ultimately, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just as you follow down, ultimately that Joseph is sold into a caravan of Ishmaelites on their way to Egypt. Even though his brother and his best tried to rescue him, right? He's sold into slavery, like he's sold into this caravan of people. They were going to kill him, right? They were going to kill him. But no, he was sold into this sold it as caravan, and then eventually sold as a slave into Egypt. Now this dream is going south fast. This dream is not going where it needs to go. You know, this is not the plan. You know, I thought they were going to bow down to me, not throw me in a pit, and then sell me into slavery. So some time passes, and eventually, Joseph is sold into Potiphar's house, right? Potiphar is one of the Pharaoh's chief officials. He's actually the captain of the guard. He was sold to Potiphar. That's not a bad gig, right? So we pick up the story from here. It says in chapter 39, and this story is like broken up over different chapters, so follow me. So in Genesis chapter 39, flip over to there, it says this: now Joseph had been taken down from Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph. Everybody say, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord had given him his success in everything he did, key phrase, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. From that time, he put him in charge of his whole household and all things that he owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessings of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field, so that Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care, with Joseph in charge, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Joseph has gone from the pit, right, to Potiphar's house. Basically, to everything that Potiphar had and was in charge, he now Joseph is there. Joseph is living, as it said, he is living his best life now. He is living in the house of the captain of the guard. He is given authority even as a slave. Joseph seems to rise to position really quickly. Then comes the Potiphar's wife ordeal. Potiphar's wife is making moves on Joseph, right? Because Joseph was, you know, like many of us men in here, very attractive. And all the men said, amen. And all the wives said, amen. Come on. It was your opportunity. He's falsely accused. Listen, he's falsely accused of sexual assault on Potiphar's wife. This is a big deal. And Joseph Potiphar finds out and throws Joseph into prison. Joseph did everything right. Matter of fact, when the advances were put on him, he ran. Probably should have taken his, jerked his cloak with him. If you read the story. But he's now thrown in prison. But watch Joseph. Genesis chapter 39. We pick up the story again. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Everybody say, the Lord was with him. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Like, what? So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who were held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. As a slave, he's second in charge. Really, he's kind of in charge. As a prisoner, he's put in charge. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did as a prisoner. Even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And then there's the baker and the cupbearer ordeal. Joseph has a gift of interpreting dreams. He interprets the dreams. The baker and the cupbearer both come and they have dreams. You know, bad news for the baker, good news for the cupbearer. And Joseph, you know, interprets their dreams. And he says, and he tells the cupbearer, because the cupbearer gets put back in his position. And Joseph says this, "Don't forget about me. When you go up there, don't forget about this guy. You know, the head of everything down here in the prison. I shouldn't even be here. Don't forget about me." And what did he do? He forgot about him. For 2 more years. I mean, we say that like flippantly. Think about being in a prison. Day after day after day. Maybe it's going to be today. Maybe the cupbearer's going to remember me. No, not today. No, not the next day. No. Maybe today. Nope. Well, it's the 7th today. That means something. So maybe it's today. Nope. For 2 more years. Pharaoh has a dream himself, and then the cupbearer goes, "Oh yeah, like the whole reason I'm out of this thing is because of Joseph, this guy down in prison. He interprets dreams." So he brings Joseph up, right? And then the prophetic dream of Pharaoh was basically that they're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 45. Excuse me, not quite yet. So basically, let me back up. So Joseph basically leads the charge to provide food during the 7 years of plenty. He leads the charge, right? He's actually put in second command of all of Egypt next to Pharaoh. Once again, because the Lord, I would say the Lord, was with Joseph. Because, you see, Joseph is now put in second command. He understands what's going to happen. He stores up everything. He's storing up all this stuff for to prepare for the 7 years of famine. And then his brothers show up. So it's been 7 years, and then 2 more years into the famine, his brothers show up. And when his brothers show up, they're wanting food. Well, Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph. So this crazy other ordeal that I'm not going to talk about this morning, just read it, it's pretty amazing. How he kind of hides himself from him, and then some other really weird stuff happens. Read your Bible. It's intense. And then Joseph decides he's going to show himself to him. Now I'll pick up the story. In Genesis chapter 45, we're going somewhere this morning. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or be angry with yourselves." Did you get that? I'll go into it a little bit more in a minute. "Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that the Lord sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there'll be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What? Everything that Joseph had been through, the sold, first thrown in a pit, sold, lied about, forgotten about, was for a great deliverance? Joseph doesn't seem like he looks at all the things that he's been through as bad. He looks at it as the providence of the Lord. That's amazing. Would you do that? He says, like, you think it's going to say, you know what, hey, don't be still angry with me. He tells his brothers, don't be angry with yourselves. He's already thinking that his brothers are going to feel bad, or maybe they're going to be desperate for food. And oh my gosh, this is Joseph. We ain't get no food from him. Maybe, but he's telling his brothers, don't be angry with yourselves. Joseph's not even thinking of himself. He's not even thinking about being sold into slavery. He's not even thinking about all the stuff that he's been through. He's thinking about the fact that this has been set up by God the whole time. That's what you call faith, my brothers and sisters, faith. I have four thoughts this morning on this story. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to talk about four of them. My first thought is this, is Joseph has grown in this time. Joseph is a different guy than he was when he was a little snot-nosed teenage, no offense to the teenage, because our teenage people are not, whatever. He was a teenager. We have great teenagers. And I'm not even kidding, we have great teenagers in our church. Joseph is not the same guy. Now listen to this. He had this dream when he was 17 years old. And if you look through his life, his dream really didn't look exactly like what he thought it was going to look like when it came to pass. He becomes second in Egypt when he's 30 years old. Follow me, dude. We're going to do math this morning. He started, I know, 17, that's the weekend. 17, he started at 17. He becomes second in command when he's 30. That's not the dream. The dream's not him becoming second in command. The dream was that mom and dad and all his brothers were going to bow down to him. Right? That didn't happen until 9 years later. 21 years. Is that right? I did the math. 13. Oh my gosh. 22 years. Actually, it's in my notes. 22 years. 22. I'm going to say 22. 22 years, over 2 decades. Of waiting for this thing to come to pass. 2 decades. Joseph's not the same person that he was when he was a kid. Hey guys, you guys are all gonna bow down to me. It's gonna be awesome for me. Later, Joseph said, hey, don't be mad at yourselves. This was all put on by God. That's a different person. That's a different person. Psalms 105, it talks about Joseph. 17 through 19. Actually, this is in the the New American Standard version. He says this. He sent a man before him, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters, and himself was laid on irons until the time came to pass that the word of the Lord tested him. That word tested, I think in the NIV it actually says proved, if I'm not mistaken. It tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. That word actually tested him really doesn't do it justice. The word actually has the idea to refine or to smelt. To refine. To bring out, to take apart, to take out the impurities of. I watched this crazy video and studying this about he was like this guy, this really long gray beard, and he's real super country, goes, watch this. And he like was refining. Was really cool. He was actually refining or smelting gold. And he poured out heated it up to 1500 degrees, something crazy like that. And it separated the impurities, and you watched the impurities come out of the gold. The word of the Lord put out all of the impurities that were in Joseph. For 22 years. He was tested. God did a lot of work in Joseph. And there was purpose, listen to me. There was purpose in the waiting. There was purpose in the waiting. My second thought is this. And this may be where you go, The next thought is this. The story of Joseph is not the how to make your dreams come true story. That's not the story of Joseph. It's not the from the pit to the palace. It's not from the pit to the palace and how to get to the palace. The truth of the matter is, it wasn't Joseph's dream anyway. It was God's dream. Joseph is not the story as if you have your own dream in your heart and how to fulfill your dream. That's not the story. Because it wasn't your dream anyway. It wasn't Joseph's dream anyway. It wasn't, just because, Mama told you you could sing, that all of a sudden you had a dream. Mama may have lied to you. But you have a dream, and it's a dream. It was it God's dream? God's dream. God's dream will cause, I'm getting ahead of myself. The truth is, God's dream will follow you. You don't have to follow your own dream. You don't have to follow your dream because God's dream will follow you. Notice, God's dream followed Joseph everywhere he went. God's dream for Joseph to be a leader that followed him in Potiphar's house, and it followed him into the prison because it was God's dream. It was the dream of God in him. So listen. You're like, I don't know if my dream, I don't know if God's dream's gonna, God will make your dream. God will make his dream come to pass in you. It's his dream. Right? Mighty quiet in here this morning. It's God's dream. The story of your dream will follow you when you honor God wherever you're at. And that's my next point. Joseph worked hard wherever he was. And listen, I may be pulling it out, but I don't believe Joseph did the things he did because he thought, if I just do this, I'm going to get promoted. I believe Joseph did these things because of the integrity of his heart. See, Joseph was who he was. We talk about favor. I just believe for favor. I believe for favor on my job. Favor in this, favor in that, from that. A lot of times favor, like it's interesting that it says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Do you think if Joseph is sitting over there on the side, all depressed because why am I a slave? I'm a slave. God forgot about my dream. He was pouting. And Potiphar would go, Joseph, get up. You're supposed to be doing this. That's sweet. That's good enough. I'm going to go over here and melt and pout. Do you think the word of the Lord would have been, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him? What did Joseph do? I can only imagine that Joseph was one of the hardest working people in all of those slaves. Of anybody who would maybe that here he is knowing what God's dream for him is. This is not where God's called me. God's called me higher. But you see, what I love about this story, it's the both. It's the God that Joseph did what he knew to do. And God honored the work that he did. It's not either or. Listen, you can't have favor on your job if you don't work hard on your job. You can't expect favor with the people around you if you're a jerk. Like that person that you think about at your job who doesn't carry their weight. right? Like your first thought is, oh wow, the Lord is with them. The Lord is with them because of Joseph's work ethic and how he did his job. The Lord was with him. And he had favor. But he also allowed Potiphar to catch his eye. See, because the dream, if you work, if you do your part, the dream will follow you. It'll follow you. It'll push you to where you need to be. Don't follow the dream. Your dream follows you. Joseph had favor, but wasn't it really an ethereal thing? Right? The last thing I want to talk about is this. Is you have to be careful with dreams. Because dreams can be a distraction from where you're at. Right now. Your dream can be a distraction. The very thing that God wants to do in you can be a distraction for what God wants you to do right now. Right now. I'm all over my notes, so help me. See, we can be so focused on your dream that you're not present in the now. The question I want to ask some of us this morning, did you have that thing? I thought God wanted me to do this. I thought God wanted me to do this. I thought God was leading me to this. I thought God was leading me to this. Is that a distraction for you? From what God's called you to do right now? Evidently, it was not a distraction for Joseph. Joseph was not distracted by his future dream, or he had been pouting like I was over there a minute ago. I mean, I've told the story of my, I remember working one day and, I wasn't fulfilling my call and all that, and I call it the old, pastor with no pulpit pity party. And I remember the Lord just speaking to me one day. He says, you know what, David, God, if I called you to be a pastor, I didn't call you to be a pastor once you get there. says, what does the pastor do? I was like, this is a great question, God. I'm glad we're having this conversation. Because this is the problem. And I said, Lord, you know, I said, yes. So a pastor's job is you take people and you just push them towards you, and you help them, you draw people towards God, and you help people find you in new ways, and you help people draw closer to you. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly right. He says, these people that you work with, do they know me? All right, where this is going, Lord? They don't know me. So your job as a pastor is only when you're in the position. We'll be right back, God. I'm going to think about that a little bit. But you do your dream. See how your dream can be a distraction from what you're supposed to be doing right now. And if you miss it, you will maybe even miss, listen, I'm telling you this because you may even miss what God has for you because you're so focused on what's going to happen that you're not focusing on what's going to happen right now. And you got to just bury yourself. And the God, what are you asking of me to do now? And not wait for some pie in the sky. Boy, if some of us get older, you go, wow, that pie in the sky, like, it's not like what I thought it was going to be. Joseph's dream was nothing, it didn't look anything like what he thought it was going to look like. Your dream, is it God's dream? And let me just say this. If it's God's dream, the dream is not just, maybe I have more points. If it's God's dream, listen. If it's God's dream, it's not about you anyway. If it's God's dream, it wasn't just for Joseph. And the amazing thing is, the thing I love about Joseph is he realized it. It wasn't about him. It was about others. Say others. If your dream is all about you, your dream's not big enough. If your dream is, thank you. If your dream is not about you, is all about you, then it's not big enough. Because God has a dream that that will affect not only you, not only your family, but other people around you. Your dream, what God's put in you, will be this catalyst that helps other people come closer to God. It'll be the catalyst that, like Joseph, you'll feed other people. You'll be a provider for other people. If you just can't wait for you to, if your dream is to hit the lot, well, may that be a God dream. But if your dream is to, continue to grow in your company and everything, and it's not about that God will give me seed to sow to push the kingdom of God forward. The Bible says that God caused Abraham to prosper, to be a blessing, so that he blessed Abraham so that he could be a blessing. See, God's dream involves others. God's dream doesn't involve it's just not fulfilling for you. It's for others. And what we said last week, and if it's for others, what does it do? It brings life. When you allow God, listen, the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it has a whole lot of stuff going in it. But it doesn't have a way for it to go out. And it's dead. Some of us, you're feeling dead. Maybe in your walk with God. Could it be that it's time to start giving out? To start being a blessing for somebody else? And it was never, your dream was never about you anyway. But I'm telling you, once you get into the flow, once you get into where God is moving through you, once you get into the place where God's anointing hits you, and it's not just for you to have a little Holy Shandai and you have a little experience with God, once you get in that place where you can have a God sensation of God flowing not just in you, but through you, and you see God work in you and through you, life comes. It's amazing. Life is only life when you give it away. It's absolutely the truth. Abundant life. Not just get along life, not just breathing life, not just paying your bills life. It is a life that gives, and it's life for others. The dream God has for you has never been about you. It's always been about others, advancing the kingdom, pushing the kingdom forward. Seek the dreamer, not the dream. you seek the dreamer, he'll change you. He'll make you into the person that God's called you to be. You can live, and then listen, you can live. Some of you have some dreams. And you're living, you know, for that anointing one day. God says, I've anointed you right now. I've given you the ability right now. And God says, just step out. Don't think it's down the road. Listen, God says, He says, when you go to open your mouth, don't worry about what you'll say. I'll give you the words to say. When you go to do whatever God's called you to do, right now, you know what? Can I just say this? Because I love you. I'm just going to declare over. That's what I'm going to do. You are able in Jesus' name. Word from the Lord for you this morning. Whatever God's called you to do, you are able. You are able to do it. Now, you don't need, ask Craig, you don't need a college, you don't need a doctorate in theology to be a blessing to the people around you. You don't need a doctor, you don't need to be as smart as some of these theologians that we have in the house to do what God's called you to do today. Today. Amen. So what's my message? Don't be distracted about your dream. Seek the dreamer, and the dream will find you. Seek the dreamer, and the dream will find you. Give your life to what you're doing right now. And don't be concerned about what's down the road. Listen, some high schoolers, you guys are about to graduate. Some of you guys in your early 20s. Man, let me tell you. Can I just say this? And let me just say this to everybody, because our young adults get a raw deal. Because what happens is they graduate from high school, and then they tell them, I want you to find out what you're going to do for the rest of your life right now when you're 18 years old. Can some of the adults look at some of these younger people and go, it don't work out like that. So relax. You early 20-year-olds, relax. God's got you. The dream will follow you as you follow the dreamer. Amen? Amen? And some of you guys, listen, Some of you guys, you've been living for God for a while. Listen, that dream's still in you. Don't worry about like what you thought. I thought it was going to turn out like this. What has God given you in your hand today? What has God anointed you to do today? This series, the bottom line of this series, is that Jesus is the way to life. And as we consecrate our lives to the Lord, Jesus gives us the life. But the question is this: am I living a life that's truly my coffee press from last week? That is set apart to make coffee. We don't use that for anything else. It's not made for anything else. It's made to make coffee, and it's a French press, so it makes really good coffee. And it's set apart for coffee. And it works best when we're using it for what it was made for. You will operate and you will live a life that God intended you to do when you're living the life that God intended you to live. And you're serving the purpose. You're not using that coffee maker, that coffee press, to be, you know, a mug. Or a dirt scoop. You're using it for what it was intended. You will work and you will live your life as you're consecrated to the Lord for His purpose. And let me say this, as some of you guys, you battle some major stuff, I know. But I'm telling you, it's amazing once you get your eyes off of your own self. And I know it's hard. I know it's a hard message. But as you get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on others, it's amazing how the life of God starts flowing in you. Purpose of God starts flowing in you. And I'm telling you, you will never be the same, and you'll look at other people and go, why aren't other people experiencing the life I have? Because I'm living this life like an espresso, double, triple shot of espresso coffee. Amen? Worship team, come on up. Let's all stand together as they come. The way to life is to consecrate your life. Jesus said, those who try to gain their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the gospel. will find it. Jesus. Come on, let's just bow our heads. It's you and him. What is God calling you to do right now? Say, I don't really know. It's Proverbs that says those who talks about the person who knows what to do and they don't do it. And it goes on to say some bad things. But they know what to do and they don't do it. What is God's will for you right now? I believe that you know what the right thing is. I believe that God's already been speaking to you about what that thing is. I'm going to ask some of our prayer people to come down, if you could. If I've ever talked to you about praying for people, you can come on down. I want to pray for you this morning. With your heads bowed one more time, and my question is this. You say, wow, this is quite a Mother's Day message. Absolutely. Following God this moment. But I know I need to. I know I need to follow him. And you just say, you know what, in my own heart, I'm just not doing one of the things I know to do. Or maybe you'd even say, you know, I've never really made Jesus my Lord and my Savior and commit my life to him, and you want to do that this morning. Or maybe you say, I just need to come back to God. Church, it's about you and him. there's a lot of visitors here today. Maybe you have your home church. That's awesome. It's about not church member, it's about you and him. And that's you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. And that's you. I want you to just lift your hand right where you're at. I want to pray for you this morning. Just looking around, amen. Is anybody in this room? You say, I need to recommit my life to the Lord. I need to commit my life to the Lord. Or maybe you're in this place and you'd say this. I've been kind of putting my life on the sideline. I haven't been really doing some of the things I know I should be doing. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I used to hear it called like this. What you do is you're driving a spiritual stake in the ground. And you're saying, as for today, I'm making a decision. What you spoke on today, David, through the Holy Spirit has impacted me. And I want to make a kind of a closing decision. I say, I want to give my life to the purposes of God. And maybe I've looked at the dream and I choose to look at right where I'm at. And you say, I haven't been doing that, but I know I should be. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do this thing as they do this next song. As soon as they hit this next song, I want you to just come on down. I'm going to pray for you. Make that decision. I'm telling you, life and life to the full. That's what we're after. Amen.